Now, the Hybrid Brokers Realty Show, the realty show that gets down to business. Call your hosts, Joe and Chris, at 866-576-1055. Follow us on Facebook or email the show at hbrshow.com.
So, Chris, oh, that's right, there is no Chris today. That's right, folks, it's going to be just me, just Joe by himself. Chris is not here. No, I did not fire him. Chris is off with his family in Oregon. He's got a graduation to go to, so I hope he's traveling safely and makes it back, because I do want to continue to have my co-host. But today I'm going to go solo, and not completely, because I do have a friend in studio to help me out, so I'm not completely by myself. But first, Chris and I usually, at the beginning of the show, we like to go over our weekends a little bit. So without Chris here, I'm going to go over mine. I had my first official Marlin swim meet this weekend in Auburn, California. The Rancho Cordova Blue Marlins is a swim team in my local area. We've been a part of that team with my son for a number of years. They are, every year I'm the announcer. And so I really look forward. We put on a good show, help the kids have a lot of fun. I look forward to these. We had our time trials, which is our blue and gold. It's called the blue and gold colors of the team. We had our time trials, which is sort of like a meet, but we had our first actual dual meet against the team. We went up to Auburn against the Robolos. And for those of you who don't know or who haven't followed the show regularly, we've actually had some guests from the Marlins on the show to talk about something that's going on with the Marlins. They don't have a pool right now. And because they don't have a pool, it was actually a home meet hosted by another team in Auburn. The Robolos were kind enough to host us in a home meet. They allowed us to hang up our banners and use our staff, even though it was their pool and they were still competing. It was a really great example of, while we're competing, both teams are in a dual meet, their points being tallied, we can still cooperate to make sure that the kids are getting what they need, which is what's most important, because that's what we're there for. We're there for the children. Lots of volunteers come together to make these things happen. And like I said, right now the Marlins are without a pool. I just want to give a quick update on that if anyone happens to be interested. The Cordova Recreation and Park District, they came along a few years ago and said, look, the pool is in disarray. We're going to have to shut it down. A lot of parents who have been Marlin parents like myself for a while, we're very invested in this team. We wanted to see it going. We went to the city. We found out that the city of Rancho Cordova was receiving some money from the federal government that they could disperse amongst various programs in the community. We rallied a number of parents from the team. We went to the city council meeting. We petitioned the city council to put aside a portion of this money to possibly help us in getting our pool up and running as soon as possible so that these kids can continue to swim. We all volunteer every weekend to make these things happen. We wanted to see our city get involved to continue to help us to make things happen. The city approved it and was very Dave Sanders, the mayor out in Rancho Cordova. If you know anything about him, he's very pro sports. He's very pro youth. He's very pro Rancho Cordova. Seemed very excited about getting on board and helping to make this kind of thing happen for his community. A few months went by, CRPD and Rancho Cordova City were working together, like that's what we thought, and then all of a sudden weird things started to happen and it sounded like they weren't getting along, and we had surprise meetings and all kinds of weird things going on, so I started to get involved because I'm really invested in this swim team, and I'll get to exactly why in a moment, one of the reasons why. As I went to both meetings, now here's the thing, if you have two parties working together, they're working together for a number of time, and they both claim that they're working together, and yet nothing's getting done, you have to think someone in there is not being completely honest with you. Someone is not working with someone else. I have children. For anyone out there who has children, you know, you get the same story from both kids. I was doing what I was supposed to, or something along those lines. And you're looking at both your children going, okay, somebody here is not being straight up with me, because this wouldn't have gotten broken if both of you were just doing what you were supposed to. Somebody did something here. So I started going to both meetings. I wanted to attend the city council meetings. I wanted to attend the CRPD meetings. As I attended these, I can say the Rancho Cordova City Council, they act professionally. They dress professionally. They, from what I can see in their meetings and the people coming to them and the projects that they're working on, they are making progress. They have a reputation for accomplishing successful projects. They have the Folsom Street renovations that they've been building up. They are already in phase three or four of that. They're really doing a lot to build up the city. And I saw that, hey, I would have hired any one of them to come work for me. I went to CRPD's meetings. Let's just say I wouldn't hire any of them. I didn't feel that they dressed and spoke respectfully. During the city council's meeting, when CRPD showed up, they literally, and I quote, called them egomaniacs. They called the mayor and people within his council a bunch of egomaniacs and sounded like little kids throwing a tantrum at somebody who was offering to help them. When I went to CRPD meetings, one of the guys was texting during the meeting for 20 minutes. We were having heated debates. We were talking about the issues, and the entire time I watched on my phone to try and see how much time he was taking. For 20 minutes, the guy didn't take his eyes off his phone. He's a board member. He's an elected official. I didn't feel very respected. I didn't feel that someone that should be in the office they're doing. That's not a professional way to give us. Even if he's answering emails related to the meeting, that's not showing your attention and that you're focused on what the people want. So I'm just going to say that I wasn't in the 2x2s. I wasn't in the little meetings that they had. I didn't get to hear everything that went on. But from what I've seen about how both entities operate, I'm not very impressed with CRPD, and I have to lean towards thinking that maybe that's the issue in this one. The reason why I'm so passionate, the reason why I'm so heated about this whole thing is because the reason that I'm able to even talk to you about this right now is because of the Cordova Blue Marlins. The Blue Marlins are how I ended up on the radio. I started out announcing for the Marlins about 5 years ago. The old announcer was leaving. I was sitting around, and to be honest, I grew up in a swimming family, and I wasn't excited that my son had joined swimming, and I was going to sit through swim meets all over again as I had done through my childhood. And to my wonderful surprise, they made an announcement that the old announcer was leaving the team, and they needed somebody to train. I had no prior experience on the microphone, and I thought, hey, this will give me something to do all day at the meet. I'm going to go try this out. And I did well. I loved it. I fit in really good. And I really found a niche for myself. I went on to announce for the Cordova Junior Lancers, and I still announce for them. I volunteered for them for 3 seasons now, and this will be our 4th one coming up. And I even went to the Rancho Cordova Little League and did a little bit of announcing for them on their Friday night games, as in my son's last season with them. And I eventually, how that led me to radio. I got me familiar with using the microphone. And I had the opportunity to be a guest on a radio show at this station to come on and talk about youth sports and volunteering and all the positives for youth participants enjoyed. I enjoyed being on the show. I told the host, hey, let me help you out. Let me help you with your show. And I followed him around. I did show prep for him. I tried to help him book guests. I learned by volunteering for him, by volunteering for a youth organization. I ended up volunteering for a radio show, and I ended up getting my own radio show where I get to come and share my thoughts with you, the general public, every afternoon for an hour, once a week. This is one of the benefits I got from volunteering. I owe this to the Marlins. The Marlins created an opportunity for me. Yes, I had to take advantage of it, but the opportunity was there. And by taking advantage of that and volunteering, it led me somewhere that I didn't even realize. It's not like I just woke up and said, hey, I'm going to have a radio show. And I walked down to the station and got a radio show. This is something that developed through volunteering. And it's one of the surprising benefits for me of volunteering. And that's why I want to talk a little bit about volunteering. Because there's a lot of information out there that'll show you how volunteering is extremely beneficial to your professional and personal life. Volunteering helps your skills, helps you to develop new skills. I believe it was Stanford Social Innovation Review is calling volunteering the next executive training ground. It allows you to get free education is one of the things that they're talking about. I think is really interesting. We have a lot of student debt out there. One of the ways that I didn't go to school to be on the radio. I didn't go pay for college classes to learn how to do this. I sure hope it doesn't show. No, I didn't pay to do this. I went out, I volunteered, I got involved in this. It's something I ended up enjoying that I wasn't even aware that I wanted to do and led into it. But I got it all for free. Sure, I was volunteering and I was donating my time, but I got that training, on-the-job training, for free. There's a book out there called Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. And in that book, he has a little story. He talks about free education. He talks about working for free and how when he was a kid, he worked for free or little or no money. And how he actually received a free education from the business owner on how to make money, how to respect money, how to learn about the entire process. It's just another little example of how working for free can, in a sense, which is what volunteering is, can help you to better yourself and your life. And you know what? We're going to try and better our show as I bring in a guest next segment. And our sponsors, they don't work for free. So let's have them go ahead and give their piece of information for you and show you all the great people who support us here at Money 105.5.
You've seen street fights. You've seen name-calling. You've seen audacious bragging, relentless ragging, nonstop nagging. And the cool part is, we all know the best is yet to come.
The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine?
Join The Answer as we bring you all the convention coverage you can handle with our hosts live in Cleveland at the GOP National Convention coming July 18th on AM 1380. The Answer.
Hybrid Brokers Realty has everything you want in a brokerage without the high costs.
They even handle all of your marketing so you can focus on what you do best.
The Hybrid Brokers Realty model is designed to help support the growth of their agents and their community as well.
Hybrid offers revenue sharing and partnership opportunities to their agents while donating a percentage of all income to local charities.
It's time to join with a true local brand. Hybrid Brokers Realty, 916-696-6006. Take advantage of the opportunities waiting for you at wearehbr.com. BRE license number 01977652.
Money 105.5.
Real estate and business, a match made here on the Hybrid Brokers Realty Show. Call Joe and Chris at 866-576-1055. Follow us on Facebook or email the show at hbrshow.com.
Volunteering, working for free. What are we talking about? Is this a business show or not? I'm telling people go out there and work for free. That's right. Go out there and work for free, ladies and gentlemen. Volunteer. I spent my weekend volunteering with the Cordova Blue Marlins swim team out at their meet in Auburn, California. Yes, that's right. It's a Cordova team that was swimming in Auburn because the Robles were kind enough to host the Marlins as the Marlins had a home meet away from their pool, which is without water. It makes it a little bit difficult to go swimming when there's no water in the pool. So the Marlins were up there. We had a really good meet all day Saturday. I put in my, 8 to 10 hours of volunteer time on Saturday for everyone. Go out and volunteer. I got a radio show out of it. That's what I was talking about before the commercial break. I am on here because of the volunteering that I did with youth sports and youth education. The contacts that I made. When you go out and volunteer, you have no idea who's standing next to you. You might actually be sitting next to the CEO of the company that may be looking for you and doesn't even realize you're the perfect employee to put in there. And I tell you what, nothing's going to impress them more than seeing you down there putting forth your best foot. I've always felt that the work I do in any job, whether I like my boss, whether I like my employer, is a representation of me and myself. You won't always try to represent yourself. I want a potential future employer to be able to look at my employment background and see positive marks that were done, controlled through my actions. You can make those new contacts and show them what are your hard workers. What a great way to actually rub elbows with the people that could potentially influence your life in the future. You aren't even aware of it. And not just for people who have jobs. If you don't have a job, there's a lot of people out of work out there. If you don't have a job, one of the most frustrating things is going into a new job without any work experience. Where's the gap? Why the gap? You can start to fill that gap by volunteering. Volunteer organizations are not very interested in your resume a lot of the time. They want your body. They want you there to help out. You can build yourself within a volunteer organization and actually get the references and the important experience and training that will make you more viable for an employment position. And companies love giving back to the community. I know that there's a lot of stereotype out there that corporations just want to take it all. They want to take everything from everyone. I know a lot of business owners. They are very generous people. They love giving back to their community. Giving back to your community, build your community, makes it stronger, makes more people you can sell your product to. You don't want to sell your product to people who don't have money to buy it. You want to make sure that you have a strong community where people are able to support your business. And volunteering, of course, demonstrates drive and initiative, self-confidence. Oh, man, the self-confidence you get from being successful, nothing breeds success like success. Go out and volunteer, get some successes, and see where it leads you to the job that you never even knew you wanted. I'm going to finish that segment by saying thank you to the Cordova Blue Marlins and the Cordova Junior Lancers for the unique opportunity they gave me that allows me to now have a radio show where I get to interview fabulous members of the community like Peter Tatishi, who's here today with me. Peter, I'm happy to have you back. I haven't seen you in a little while. We get Peter on here once a month. He's in here from the Metro Chamber. You can say hi to the people, Peter.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me back on the show.
I'm excited to have you back. One of the reasons I'm excited to have you back is because when the first time Peter came on the show, I really didn't know what a Chamber of Commerce was. One of the really unique opportunities this show gives me is I have to learn all the time. I have to learn about my guests that are coming in here so that I can sound remotely like I know what I'm talking about on the air. Peter, you are the CEO and president of the Sacramento Metro Chamber, correct?
Correct.
And a chamber is basically an organization that lobbies for the benefit of businesses within the community.
Right. We're a mutual benefit corporation or an association of businesses across the Six County region, and we come to advocate, support, and grow the region and the economic vitality of the region by taking that collective voice of all of those businesses that we represent, nearly 1,700 businesses that employ well over 135,000 people in this region, to make sure that we are talking to the region, to the state, to the federal governments, to make sure that they're aware of their impacts on businesses every day.
Well, and that's important. We need we need to know the actual, especially with a lot of the issues that we hear on the news. We have one guy on the radio like me saying how it's going to affect everything, but you guys actually have the support and the research that goes into finding out exactly how, not how it's going to just affect business in general, but your business in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Certain laws might affect a car dealership a bit more than they affect a water park.
That's right. I mean, every day the laws only apply to certain companies. Sometimes they're generic across the board. Sometimes they're targeted. I mean, there was a bill in the state Senate recently. Luckily, it did not move out of committee, but it would have targeted grocers, retailers, and restaurants only, and it would have targeted them on how they have to schedule their employees, and it would have taken all flexibility away. So there are times where we're looking at specific impacts that a bill will have on certain types of industries, but then there are the generic bills that are across the board, bad for all businesses. And then on the very rare occasion, there are bills that are great for all businesses across the spectrum. But we track them all, and we work at that local, state, and federal level to make sure that we can really advocate on behalf of the businesses here in this region, because economic vitality is so important to really the strength of a community. If you're not able to be employed, you're really not able to live here, and you're really not able to be part of the great things like the Cordova Marlins. Those kind of programs are important, but you wouldn't be able to do those things if you're not able to register your kids and get your kids to practice and other things. So we need to support economic vitality so that we can support our region.
Yeah, volunteering doesn't give me free time for my kids on the pool. Then it wouldn't be volunteering.
No.
It would be a trade. We go and volunteer because we want it to be better, but you're right. I still have to I got to buy suits. I got to buy goggles. I got to, make sure I have gas in the car and a car to put gas in.
Well, especially going up to Auburn, so.
Exactly. It was a little bit of a drive. They offered at one point to merge. They said, have you guys thought about merging the teams? I said, with Auburn? That's a little bit of a drive from Rancho Cordova. It was a very sweet gesture, but I don't think they're going to take them up on that one. So you mentioned the legislation that goes broad across the board.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I can have you here today without talking about one of those that is an extremely hot topic out there right now, and that is the overtime rule. So first of all, what is the overtime rule? We've heard a lot. You tell me in your words, what is
it? So, there are two different regulations, if you will, or two different governing entities that determine overtime. One is the federal government through their Department of Labor, and they issue standards every year. The other is the state of California, and they both have regulations on how to determine how to manage overtime and how you would compensate for overtime and who's exempt from overtime. We've been following this, and as the state has adopted the new minimum wage, one of the unintended consequences that we kept reminding folks is that in California, exempt employees or people who are exempt from the overtime regulations, one of the first base tests is that they must make double the minimum wage. So if minimum wage is $15 an hour, baseline all exempt employees would have to be $30 an hour or $62,400 a year, which is quite a significant starting salary for all exempt employees across the state. So that's,
yeah, that's a little bit higher than the Fed.
The Fed in the past had been in the low 20s across the board, trying to fit one size that would be the base for across all states, and then allow states like California to say, if we're higher, then you can raise it higher. Well, 2 weeks ago, they put a final issuance out in which they changed the overtime exemption ratio, and it's now in essence, $47,500, just shy of that number, by about $14 or so.
Yeah, you're spot on. $47,46 is what I have. So, $47,476.
Right, and so yeah. when you're looking at this, this is a huge increase, and so every business across the country,
it's more than double what it was.
It's way more than double than what it was, and so starting December 1st of 2016, this year, on December 1st, if you have an exempt employee, they must start getting a monthly salary at the rate of $47,476 annually.
Okay, so you say an exempt employee. Let's explain to people out there, because I've seen confusion even within companies that I've worked in, and employees themselves don't always understand it. What is the difference between an exempt and a non-exempt employee?
So, and there are lots of classifications, and this is the hardship, that when you change a small piece of regulation, the unintended consequences or even the details of an employer having to search it out becomes very complex. So there are a number of litmus tests, if you will, as to what is an exempt or non-exempt employee. An exempt employee is someone who is exempt from overtime regulations, meaning that their hourly wage, they do not make overtime beyond 8 hours in a day in California or 40 hours in a week.
So they don't clock in and out.
They don't clock in and out. They manage their own time. They're basically able to make independent decisions on projects or manage people. So there are a number of professionals that are also automatically exempt employees, teachers, attorneys, doctors, nurses, things of that nature. But on top of all of that, the company has the ability to say if you're going to be in a supervisorial role where your duties are unique, where you can manage your time, manage people, make independent decisions.
Fast food manager.
Depending. And this is where case law has ruled in different situations. A fast food manager, depending on whether or not you're a shift manager or you're the actual manager, if your core job functions or job duties during the day are the same as the people that in theory you're managing, then no. In many cases, you are not considered an exempt employee. You must be hourly. But if most of your job or time is spent managing a project, managing people, making decisions above and beyond what others are making, not necessarily when to start cooking, when to start, but true decision making, then that changes the dynamic and allows you to be an exempt from overtime regulations. But to do that, you must make either the federal standard, $47,476 annually, or as the minimum wage in California goes up, as the law continues to progress, double the minimum wage. So for the first 3 years or so of California's increase in minimum wage, double will fall shy or short of the federal standards. But come year four, year five, we will start to exceed again the federal standard, and we will have to pay a higher ratio. Like I said, when we hit $15 an hour in 2022, you're talking about $62,400 starting wage for all exempt employees, meaning that they are exempt from paying overtime.
And you can't, you know, you're just explaining the difference between exempt and non-exempt. So you can't take a janitor and say, okay, I'm going to put you as an exempt employee in a salary because he's not supervising anything.
As long they have to be able to meet the criteria in a true fashion, and that's the hard piece. You can't just arbitrarily say as the employer, well, you know, I can't afford the exempt salary, so I'm going to turn everyone into an hourly employee. You have to reclassify your employees and make sure that it complies with federal and state standards for what an exempt employee or an hourly employee is.
Would you ever have a salaried employee that was non-exempt or that was non-exempt?
So salaried is a hard – see, this is where it's jargon, and I apologize to the listeners that we go into jargon, but this is what happens when government involved.
But this is what we hear as citizens. We understand – we don't hear exempt and non-exempt. We hear salaried all
right,
the time.
Right, and salaried has been associated with exempt typically, but salary does not mean it has to be exempt. Many hourly employees are told this is the annual salary you will make, and it may be more than the minimum wage, but maybe not as much as what the double the minimum wage or an exempt employee makes, but your salary could be $37,000 a year, less than the federal and state standard. But you know, as long as you work your 8 hours a week, you know, for 2,080 hours a year, you're going to be able to make that salary.
And you're
you
clocking. So do you have to clock those initial 40 hours or do you have to clock on top of those?
For everyone. And I would encourage everyone, including your exempt employees, to have timesheets. And my organization, the Sacramento Metro Chamber, every single person, including myself, fills out a timesheet for every pay period. It is important that you have timesheets. You need to be tracking those things as employers because the burden of proof is on you. You have to be able to prove that you were appropriately paying your employees, tracking their time and showing that they weren't working more than 8 hours in a day if they're hourly or 40 hours in a week. But it's 8 hours in one day in California, right? So
what if a business – you said because I think this happens a lot. We've had this happen when I've talked to you before about small business. Mm-hmm. You know, the California definition of a small business is different than the federal definition of a small business. So this is another example where the federal definition of salary is different than the state definition of salary. What should a business – if a business all of a sudden encounters, hey, wait a minute, we've been paying – or an employee finds out that, hey, I've only been making $30,000 a year for the last – few years when actually I should have been making more.
They should have been making more. I mean, if they were considered an hourly employee, and then you can get to that level. But if at the end of the day their job responsibilities were that which could have qualified them to be an exempt employee, they in theory could file a claim against their employer. And that's the fear, is that the legal costs and the costs of dealing with claims by employees to employers is extremely difficult. It's extremely consuming of finances. You want to avoid those at all costs. So when they change these rules and these regulations, like they are doing right now with the federal standard, everyone needs to come into compliance. And I've talked to a lot of employers. I've even talked to government entities. I was at a conference for the Association of Recreation and Park Districts across the state of California, and they're all having to comply with these new standards as well. Everyone has to comply with these. And I've told everybody, you need to consult your HR and your attorneys because they're the ones who are going to be able to help manage this, because you can't just arbitrarily say, well, their job description works, but I'm going to switch them to hourly now if in the past they've been exempt. You have to reclassify them and reclassify their job descriptions appropriately to make sure you're in full compliance.
Yeah, so you need to contact your HR department and really look into the cost of these things. Speaking of costs, we have a cost to run this show. I'm going to go to commercial break real quick. We're going to cover those costs, and we'll come right back. We're talking with Peter Tatishi. We've got more on the overtime rule and other things happening in the Sacramento business world here on Money 105.5.
From the Big Mountain Heating, Air, and Solar Traffic Center, Charlie Simons.
It's 80 heading eastbound. Accident blocking the center lane at the Yolo Causeway. Bad place to be. Traffic's backed up all the way to Richards Boulevard coming in from Davis. Business 80, it's ramp restrictions right now heading eastbound at Exposition Boulevard. That's what all that slow travel is, backed up onto 99. And 99 heading southbound, it's real slow going from 50 until you get to Sheldon. I-5 heading southbound, ramp restrictions right now at 80. And speaking of 80, one more time, an accident blocking the shoulder heading eastbound at Greenback Lane. Something you see you want to share, Lexus of Sacramento traffic tip line is there, 830-3077.
SacHalfOff.com, where everything is half off. School tuitions, vacations and trips, toys, jewelry, clothing, gadgets, electronics and more. Why pay full price when you can get it for half off at SacHalfOff.com? SacHalfOff.com.
Not all certified pre-owned vehicles are equal. Kitty here from my favorite Lexus dealer, Lexus of Sacramento, where their certified pre-owned vehicles have to pass a rigorous 161-point test. That certified pre-owned beauty then comes with a warranty for up to 3 years or 100,000 miles. Plus, you'll get new car financing rates, which are lower than typical used car rates. Get your certified pre-owned from Lexus of Sacramento and get peace of mind with it. 2600 Fulton Avenue, online at lexusofsacramento.com.
Southgate Glass, celebrating over 55 years of excellence. Check out our large selection at one of our two showrooms on Franklin Boulevard in Sacramento and on Walnut Avenue in Carmichael. Southgate Glass has it all, from glass, screens, windows, patio doors, French doors, shower doors, and window coverings. Servicing all of the greater Sacramento area, we offer free estimates and 0% financing with fast approvals. Visit our website at southgateglass.com for more details.
Hybrid Brokers Realty has everything you want in a brokerage without the high costs.
They even handle all of your marketing so you can focus on what you do best.
The Hybrid Brokers Realty model is designed to help support the growth of their agents and their community as well.
Hybrid offers revenue sharing and partnership opportunities to their agents while donating a percentage of all income to local charities.
It's time to join with a true local brand. Hybrid Brokers Realty, 916-696-6006. Take advantage of the opportunities waiting for you at wearehbr.com. BRE license number 01977652.
Money 105.5.
The Hybrid Brokers Realty Show. Call Joe and Chris at 866-576-1055. Follow us on Facebook or email the show at hbrshow.com.
See, that wasn't that long. You didn't have to wait very long. Peter and I are back. We're here. We're going to keep talking about this overtime rule. And this is sticky stuff. I have other stuff I want to talk to you about also, Peter. But you're kind of going off, man. This is I see you care a lot about this because it does. It really affects our business.
Yeah. I mean, this is it's not a simple thing. And that's the problem. Whenever there are regulations like this, there are those who think it's simple. You just pay more. It's not that simple because at the end of the day, we – you know, just like in theory, the government sets a budget, businesses set a budget, and, you know, mid-budget, which is what's happening to us in December, towards the end of our budget, actually, December 1st of this year's budget, though, we're all having to make changes. So people are having to anticipate these changes, and they're saying now every 3 years they're going to review this and potentially even raise it even higher. You know, we've always argued that if the federal government comes in, it's a baseline. It should be the what across the board is
it's like,
the baseline setting.
It's like medicine.
Setting.
Medicine, and, you can't give a blanket. They come out every year, they want to tell us eggs are bad for us. Then they want to tell us milk is bad for us, and maybe eggs are bad for you and good for me. We don't want to put a blanket statement saying that everything is bad for everybody or good for everybody. That's how I feel with the federal government saying, well, this is great for everyone. Well, that's your opinion, but you don't know everyone. You're centralized. And with the rules before where it was just states doing it, we talk about how this is going to hurt us here in California going up to 62,000 in a few years.
Yeah.
The minimum you are going to be able to pay people in – in what, 4 years we're looking at?
Well, that'll be in almost 6 years.
Almost
yes.
6 years.
Yeah.
That's still not very far.
No, it's not far away. And, you know, when you're starting to look at what we're having to budget for on an hourly basis for the increase in minimum wage and then how this – again, these are the cascading effects. When we as businesses were arguing there are impacts beyond just the person who's making minimum wage, this is part of what we're talking about out there. And so it wasn't really part of the conversation at any length when the governor was doing his closed backroom deal.
Real quick, where were we – as California, we weren't at the federal minimum. We weren't down at $23,660.
No, we were well above it because we're double our minimum wage, and our minimum wage right now is $10 an hour, which means it's $20 an hour for an exempt employee at 2,080 hours. That means you're at $41,600. So,
wow, I cannot do math that fast.
But that's where, I mean, so we were already at a 41,000. So we were already at a higher standard across the country.
We were
because,
at 41.
You know, at the end of the day.
The reason I want to ask you that is, Cave, we're at 41. It's going up to 47 right now, right? Mm-hmm. That's just in December.
December 1st.
December 1st. It goes up to 47. Okay. For California, that's a big jump, but it's only 6,000 initially. It's going to hurt, but we don't feel the burn quite as much. But when you think about somewhere like Montana or somewhere else in the nation that may have a much, much lower, they might be closer to that 23,000 figure, you are talking about doubling salaries in areas across the nation. There's
you
that
are.
Blanket statement where the cost of living in other areas, like Texas, for example, Texas cost of living is much lower than California, dramatically lower. I think gas is a dollar less a gallon down in Texas right now than it is in California. That's a significant decrease in your cost of living on just one product. Now you're going to expect them to pay double for these places, these prices in an economy that I don't know if anybody understands how it works. If you can't pull blood out of a turnip, if you don't have more money coming in to give your employees, what do you think is going to happen more? I know a lot of people see the impact as being, you know, the obvious one at first of reducing the amount of employees you have. But sometimes we've done that in the past by having salaried employees or exempt employees. This one now limits that in conjunction with a $15 minimum wage. Do you think, I mean, is this going to see a reduction in jobs? Or are we going to see an increase in part-time jobs?
I mean, we have concerns, obviously, and we can't predict the future. But we can tell you that, you know, every time we see these significant increases, people have to look at different avenues. And here's the thing. For a lot of people, being an exempt employee, meaning management in a supervisorial role, having the ability to manage your time and manage projects and make independent decisions, that's an important part of their progression. And if employers are saying, look, I can't afford that, so I'm going to have to downgrade your position into an hourly position, not that that's a bad thing, but if they've already made progress in their career jumps or their ladders, to have to be set back, that can be detrimental to their career progress.
It can kill morale.
It hurts the morale and it hurts the employee at the end of the day.
I can tell you, as an employee also, because I've one who's gone from hourly to salary, from non-exempt to exempt. When I was an non-exempt employee, the amount of stress that I lost when I went to being an exempt employee, because every single time I missed a little bit of work, I mean, yes, I still had to make it up and things. I wasn't always, as an hourly employee, it's like, look, you missed your work, you missed your work. It was there and it came and it went. As a salaried employee, I was able to make that up a lot more, and I found the perks and benefits I got with being an exempt employee really reduced my stress level, knowing how much money I was going to have each month, mm-hmm. being able to actually formulate a budget with my family. As an hourly employee, that's much more difficult to accomplish.
Well, and this is where, you know, we are afraid, if you will, of the impacts, because businesses are businesses, and they have to operate on their bottom lines. And if they can't afford a $5,000 increase next year for all of their exempt employees, plus the 50 cents that for sure we're getting in the minimum wage increase for all other employees, and that what that cost looks like, those are the difficulties in which there will be difficult decisions that employers will have to make on this. And so you will see more than likely, you know, loss of jobs. Those who are able to keep their jobs, will they see more spending cash potentially? But the number of people who are employed at the same level where they used to be may go down. And it's something that we have to be careful about, because, you know, as much as we're a recovering economy, we have not recovered in such a way where we can absorb these kind of hits, if you will, to the business community, especially one that is across the nation. I mean, this is one where, as you pointed out, Mississippi, you know, Ohio, Arkansas are going to have to take a huge look and impact at their salaried employees or exempt employees, and who knows what that means, because if they are literally jumping more than double what they're currently paying their exempt employers,
that's huge. Going double is
how do you manage that? I mean, we already see moving just a dollar has impacted people tremendously. Yeah. A dollar an hour, going from $9 to $10 this year, we've seen impacts on
and
that.
Next year, we still
next
go
50
11
cents and another 50 cents. I mean, and then $1. Yeah. I mean, this is the impacts of continuing to raise the cost of labor, because the number one expense for all businesses is labor. And
absolutely.
When that continues
when
to
I managed,
go up.
I've always been told, look, watch your labor ratio, your hours of employees. That was the first place we cut. It's send people home.
Right. And then here's the thing, hourly versus exempt. It's just as an employer, you have to watch them differently, because once you're at that hourly rate, you have to make sure that they are taking their 15-minute breaks appropriately, their 30-minute minimum lunch if they're working more than 6 hours or 6 hours or more in a day, and the other 15 if they're working beyond that. And if they're not, the employer is at fault and in the wrong, and they have to be in compliance. Yeah. This is why there are times where you're at the bank and the line is really long and they have to close a register because – It's time for that person to go on break, and they have to because the law mandates it.
And it's your job to notice. If you can't just say, I didn't notice, that you're still at fault.
There's no flexibility on that, because then you are in violation of the labor code and you can get a claim against you. And let's be clear, one claim is a lot more expensive than having a couple upset customers for the 15 minutes that person has to go on break.
Absolutely.
So, you know, and that's not to say that customer service isn't important. It's we are in a compliance society.
No, but
I
do think customer service is one of the first things you see drop mm-hmm. when these things happen.
Well, let's be clear. I mean, Wendy's just announced they're buying 6,000 automated machines for their fast food chains, right?
I mean, I think that this is a big lead in. I mean, is this the machine takeover now? Is the overtime rule?
Every time you see a huge increase in labor, which this is across the country, people have to look for ways to save on labor, and that's where automation comes in. It consistently comes in where we find new ways to make sure that we can find streamlined efficiencies and reductions in labor costs. I do not doubt that you will see a lot more automation coming
and
in.
We have an iPhone society. We have a touchscreen society. People are used to using technology. They're very familiar with it.
I order from one of my favorite burrito places online, and then we just show up and pay and leave. It's a lot easier than standing
yeah,
in line and saying what
yeah,
to do, right?
And it is easier. And because we have more and more people, it's not like when the debit cards first came out, you know, people didn't trust them, and you had all this – everyone – pretty much.
And we have the chips now, right?
On.
So it's
yeah.
even safer.
Exactly. I just learned a lot about those the other day. It was pretty neat how those work. So one other thing on this that I just wanted to move on to, because I did want to move on to something else, but I just think that an interesting aspect of all of this with the overtime rule is a lot of people who get passionate, you know, I don't want to be age demographic on it, but a lot of young people get really passionate about these things. I'm one of them. I like to get passionate about things, but I see a lot of people say, oh yeah, you know, the big corporations, they're going to have to pay. But I find that a lot of these laws that people think are going to go after the big corporations, they actually hurt the little guy more, because the corporation has the contingencies to deal with this or to go automated. Whereas
Absolutely.
The small business doesn't have – it's not as easy for them to go automated. They literally are built up by the people that come and work with them and help them build up.
And that's what you'll see, unfortunately, some small businesses that will go out of business. And you'll just see major labor changes at some of the larger corporations that in theory are the targets of these regulations.
Well, we're going to try to keep some local businesses in business and keep them going by playing their commercials here real quick. And we're going to come right back with Peter Tatishi. We got a couple other things to talk about right here on Money 105.5.
Money 105.5 backs up your business moves, no matter where or when you're making them. With updates from Bloomberg, CNBC, Your Money Now, and more, including an overview of the day's market and business moves with Mo Ansari's Market Wrap weekdays at 5. Sacramento station for Money and Biz Talk is on the radio at Money 105.5 FM, online at money1055.biz, and on your phone with the Money 105.5 mobile app. It's free in your phone's app store.
Hybrid Brokers Realty has everything you want in a brokerage without the high costs.
They even handle all of your marketing so you can focus on what you do best.
The Hybrid Brokers Realty model is designed to help support the growth of their agents and their community as well.
Hybrid offers revenue sharing and partnership opportunities to their agents while donating a percentage of all income to local charities.
It's time to join with a true local brand. Hybrid Brokers Realty, 916-696-6006. Take advantage of the opportunities waiting for you at wearehbr.com. BRE license number 01977652.
This is Sacramento's Money 105.5.
You're listening to the Hybrid Brokers Realty Show. Join the show by calling Joe and Chris at 866-576-1055. Follow us on Facebook or email the show at hbrshow.com.
I guess I should put my headphones on there to realize when the show's coming back on, huh, Matt? All right, we are back here on the Hybrid Brokers Realty Show with Peter Tatishi. He's so much fun to talk to. I wasn't even listening to the commercials to see when I was supposed to come back on. Peter, we've been talking.
I think you're the first person to say that, so thank you.
Flattery gets me everywhere, right? We've been talking about the overtime rule. We talked about the Blue Marlins. We talked about local sports, all kinds of things. But that's not the only thing happening in Sacramento, and least of all with the Metro Chamber. I say really briefly. We'll see how briefly we can get to it. A big thing going on locally here in Sacramento right now is transit. We have a new CEO of transit, Henry Lee, who began on July 1st of this year, just started a few days ago.
Well, he'll start July 1st, so he's
oh, July. We're in June.
Yeah. So he's with SACRT right now. He's been there for a few months now, but he'll formally take over as the new general manager of SACRT on July 1st.
And he's coming from some big cities, Atlanta, San Francisco, even out in China.
Yeah.
Worked on transit programs.
Henry has a wealth of experience and a wealth of actually dealing with some very difficult transit systems that haven't been perceived as serving the community well. And if you look at SACRT right now, which is a strong partner of the Sacramento Metro Chamber, there are a lot of public perceptions and some rightfully so concerns over SACRT's ability to deliver clean, safe service right now. And so we're really excited to have Henry Lee join in the general manager, replacing Mike Wiley, who announced his retirement late last year, and kind of take over and see the direction. Because, you know, we've got a couple major events that are going to be happening here in the Sacramento region that are really going to test our traffic flows and our transit systems.
We got a new stadium coming.
And that's exactly right. I mean, when the new Golden One Center opens, that's going to be a big test on our downtown core as to people descending from the whole region to that one event, and then being able to manage, can we find the parking? Can we move the traffic? Can we use transit?
And Henry seems very optimistic. He's given us a one-year turnaround.
Yeah. And you know, he has a history of taking some, you know, financially challenged districts out there and turning them around. And that's exciting for us because, I mean, you know, right now SAC-RT, its ridership is down and its fare box recovery rate is dangerously close to losing some of its federal funding. And
well, they say that the biggest problems that I found on it that were complaints, I have to admit, I don't ride public transport too much around here. I have ridden a lot of public transport in my life. I've traveled to foreign countries and all over the U.S. and used different transit systems. I have used the Sacramento transit system before. They say that right now it's been struggling for over a decade. The buses are running late. We got numerous buses out of service. We have unclean buses. And the biggest problem they're saying is fare evasion.
That's right.
We have people just jumping these trains. So Henry has proposed 25 new transit agents, I believe, that are supposed to start around about the same time that he comes into office. And he's bringing in 13 new cleaning personnel.
See, he understands the optics, right? He understands that people don't feel that it's clean or safe and that those who are on the system are taking advantage of the system. And there's a lot of truth within there. And so, you know, I applaud Henry for wanting to take on this very big job. This is not an easy job by any means. And I also applaud the SAC-RT board, especially Chairman Jay Chenier, for his efforts. You know, he has really taken this on. He took a second term as chair because he really saw that there was a need and an opportunity to change SAC-RT into the future. And so he has been doing yeoman's work for a board member. And, you know, there are times where you can say board members don't get it. This is one who understood, and his entire SAC-RT board has done a great job in saying we have an obligation to the public to turn this system around.
Yeah, and they are so dedicated that Henry's already gotten rid of two of the nine executive positions within the RT.
He is looking for efficiencies, and he understands that, again, financial solvency is critically important.
He's known for coming in with the hatchet and saying, hey, this is waste. Let's get rid of the waste. And because it's easy to come in and say, oh, I'm going to hire a bunch of new people. I think of that Simpsons episode when Homer became the sanitation guy and he spent the entire budget in a week, you know, the year's budget in a week. It's easy to promise, make all these promises, but it seems that he does actually have a really good reputation for following through with them and not just making the money appear out of anywhere, cutting with the waste within the program itself.
We're very excited to have him. We're excited to be able to work with him over the next few years. As you know, as we've said here before, transit is one of our top priorities because it's such an economic driver for our region. It's part of workforce development. It's part of being able to retain and recruit the right kind of talent. It's about mobility. It's about all kinds of things that make a solvent and viable region. I mean, you think about some of the great regions in this country, and they all have very strong transit systems.
Well, you know, that's interesting because L.A. actually, I read a story about this where they mentioned L.A., Los Angeles, where they mentioned that they had a similar problem with their transit their transit system quite a few years back, prior to the early 2000s. And they were seen as an irreparable, not going to be able to fix this. They went through the same kind of thing. And Los Angeles actually has a very decent subway. They actually had a fight over their subway system because they had a group claim that it was racist that they were building a subway station, that it would only be for the high end and that all the poor people would have to ride on the buses. And it was when they brought in somebody like Henry Lee that they were able to get past all of this kind of childish bickering and really solve the problems. And it sounds like Henry's just the right person to come in and do this.
We absolutely believe so.
So we can look forward to a new and improved transit system over here within the next year, hopefully.
I mean, it's a huge system to change. So, you know, I think he's taking on a lot, and I think he's very committed to that. So we're excited to support him in his efforts to change and turn around this this transit system.
Well, we'll have to watch what he's doing with that and how well this turns around because public transport is an essential function within major cities and metropolitan areas. And Sacramento does have a reputation for not having the best regional transit for quite some time now. Hopefully, Henry Lee, we give you all your best. We hope you're doing really good. And I hope that you're able to accomplish everything that he's setting out to accomplish with this system. You, on the other hand, Peter, are setting out to accomplish something else that I had the opportunity to learn about from the Metro Chamber that is pretty neat. I love this show. I get to learn about all this stuff that I don't know is going on, and I all of a sudden become more and more involved in my community. You guys go out, and by you guys, I mean the Metro Chamber. You have something called a study mission, where you visit another city each year and explore their economic development and the practices that bring and maintain jobs in that region.
That's right. I mean, it's a great program that we put on every year because it's important that we recognize that there are answers out in this world that we don't have to always reinvent the wheel, but there are also answers out there that we may not want to go there are paths that we may not want to go down. So it's important that we look at regions, sometimes aspirational, meaning cities that are, you know, places we're never going to become, but there are things that we can learn from, because if they're struggling in the same ways we are, then there are ways to learn.
And this is one of the things I like about the Chamber, especially you, between cap to cap, local other local chambers, and programs like this with the study mission, it's really a collaborative effort.
Yeah.
It feels very democratic. You're saying, hey, we're not the smartest guys in the room. We don't know who is. Let's all put our heads together and see, especially with something like this study mission. I love when I get the opportunity to go to other entities within my company and train, because not only do I learn the training that I was there for, but I get to see how they do things.
Yeah.
Similar jobs, even just the simple thing of how they hang something on the wall. Maybe the way they're doing it is just that much more efficient, and I pick up things that I didn't realize I was going to pick up when I was on my visit.
Well, so this year we're going to be going to the Twin Cities, and we really like the idea of the Twin Cities. A lot of people sometimes don't think the Midwest has that same glitz and glamour of Minneapolis and St. Paul, but the truth is
Minneapolis and St. Paul for all
those are the Twin Cities, right? For those of you who don't know that, but we are going to Minneapolis, St. Paul, and it's a very important region because it's similar size to the Sacramento region. I always was, you know, this is how naive I was. I just assumed that, you know, when you say Twin Cities, they would be like Sacramento, West Sacramento, literally on one side of the river from each other, and they're not. They're 12 miles apart.
Yeah, I found that out. I went and Google mapped it.
Yeah,
so I wanted to make sure.
It's like the distance from like Roseville to Sacramento, right? And
yeah.
So our six-county region is such a diverse region, but a region that works together. And you can see that in St. Paul and Minneapolis, two thriving cities where they compete against each other but work together. It's a great example of regionalism that we want to go and study. And they've done riverfront activation, something we've been trying to do here. They have you can actually ride light rail from Minneapolis to St. Paul, and along the way, stop at every single major sports facility, which they have. And they have multiple Fortune 500s located and headquartered in Minneapolis with their, what I would argue, not as great weather as us. There are things that we should be learning and seeing and experiencing in the Twin Cities and that region that I think, you know, we can really bring back to here and take to heart and say, that's how they've been able to transform their region. What are ways that we can? It's not to mimic or parrot other groups do. It's to learn.
It's inspiration.
Right.
You want to get inspiration from them. I'm an artist. I like to draw. I like to paint. I like to do a lot of stuff like that. I like to talk on the radio. I'm bothered heavily by the concept of plagiarism. I'm sorry. For me, plagiarism is the, mom, he's copying off me. As an artist, there is nothing that is all that original. You are inspired by the world around you. Part of that world is the other artists who have come along before you and allowed you to be inspired. Cities are no different. You can inspire each other to help build your time. Is that our music? Are we done?
Well, really quickly, if you're interested in our study mission program or anything at the Metro Chamber, don't forget to visit our website, metrochamber.org. Registration opens tomorrow to the general, or Wednesday to the general public.
So. Yeah, and tomorrow you have the board mixer. Real quick before we go, board mixer 5-7, 3249 Quality Drive, Rancho Cordova. You're out in my
DSP.
Neck of the woods tomorrow.
That's
all right. All right, and other than that, I will see you all. Well, I won't see you, but you'll hear me next Monday at 4 right here on Money 105.5.